lived over behind the mill. I went to housekeeping in two rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Delmas was about 5 months old. I went over behind the mill. The house has been torn down now. With a Miss Cox, Preacher Cox and his wife, and Miss Ashworth, her mother, was deaf and dumb. Miss Ashworth worked, and so did Mr. Cox. Besides, he run the dope house back there behind the mill.
The dope house?
They call it dope house. That was where you get your eats.
Oh.
Sandwiches. They call it dope house because, you know, this year they used to call drinks dopes, you know.
Oh, I see.
And cokes and things like dope, but they used to say dope house.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he managed that for the mill. And she worked in the mill, but I forgot what she done. Anyway, Miss Cox was left there, and Dave went and got me some flour, and it said phosphated added on it, and I didn't know whether it was self-rising or not. It wasn't. But I didn't know, and I asked Miss Cox. She could read your writing, but she couldn't speak a word. She talked on a phone. I didn't know how to talk with my fingers.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote her a note and asked her, was this self-rising? She looked at it, shook her head. She goes, ugh. You know. So I went in and made biscuits, you know, for my husband's supper. And he was on the third shift. I wasn't working then. And when he got up, you know, he slept in the daytime. Them things never did rise no higher than your finger. And he sat there like a nut and tried to eat them. And they was just so hard you could have knocked a colored person down with them. To keep from hurting my feelings, he tried to eat them. I sat there and cried. They were so hard, honey. And I went back when Miss Cox come in. I went in there and showed her the sack. And she said, Lord, no, honey, that's plain flour. I said, well, your mother told me it's self-rising. She said, oh, mama, leave it to mama. And she said, I bet. She says, well, I done made up some bread. Don't cry, honey. She said, please don't cry. She said, I'll make up just a little. I'm fixing to make bread. She said, but I'll add a little more. She said, I just sifted my flour. And she said, won't take it long to bake, and I'll give you some biscuits. And then I'll tell you how to make that. You'll have to buy you some baking powder and salt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I said, you got salt. I said, you don't have no baking powder. I told her, no. She said, well, you'll have to send Mr. Adam to get you some baking powder, and I'll tell you how to make your biscuits. God, but that's plain flour.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I was standing there talking, and she talked to him, and I'm just crying.
Mm-hmm.
I was so disappointed. And I told her, I said, well, to beat it all day, sitting in y'all trying to eat them blame hard things. She just laughed, said she felt so sorry for me. So she got right, while I was standing there, she started making up that bread. She put in some more flour, and some mm-hmm. more lard.
Mm-hmm.
And hers was self-rising, and she said, now, when we but a little bit, you go on back and tell Mr. Adams that I'm going to have some bread in just a few minutes. What else? I forgot what what else I'd cooked. It was all right. But see, I got stumped on that flour.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I went in and told him. He's still sitting there trying to chew that biscuit, you know. And I said, I started crying again. And I said, honey, Miss Cox said she would give us some biscuits. She'd show me that was plain flour. He said, oh, that's all right, honey. We can make out. He didn't want to hurt my feelings. See, that's kind of a man he was. He was the best husband any woman could have ever asked for.
Mm.
And the best daddy. Boy, my children had a fit when he passed away. Well, as me. Anyway, Miss Cox made them biscuits and brought them in there. So I just took them off the table and took the one he had in his hand and carried them out, and the dog wouldn't even eat them. She had a bulldog, it wouldn't even eat them. I threw them out in the yard. So I finally had to rake them up. But she brought us some bread, and then we made out, and David, he'd pet me, and the more he'd pet, the more I'd cry.
Mm-hmm.
I was so disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't no cook, I'll tell you that. And his mother lived up, they're from up in the mountains, his people, up in 48 mile past Winston-Salem, Brushy Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Close Elkin, they live out that Jonesville, Swan Creek Church community. That's where he was born. His brother still lives there in the house they was born in.
Mm-hmm.
He's 86. He was 86 last August. Anyway, she sent me some dried apples by some of the chests. Somebody went up there. And I didn't know them things swole up like they did, you know, when they got to cooking. She sent a little bag of them, you know. And she told, I thought to myself, well, she's crazy. She thinks this will make 4 or 5 messes. You know, that's what they told me. And my mother said, well, Jess said, Mother said this would make you 4 or 5 meals of fried apple jacks or whichever way you care to cook them. Said, and make you about 4 or 5 messes of them. I said, okay. I looked at that bag and I thinks to myself, huh. So I had an old oil stove in this house after I moved here. That used to be a long kitchen, and see, my husband cut it off, made a little room back there. Oil stove set over in that corner, way over on that corner. I come on in here, put them on, I just dumped there. He said, now they are clean, you don't even have to wash them. Said, my mother is a real nice, well, she was a clean lady. He said, now these apples was dried between cheesecloths and nothing couldn't get to them, dust or nothing. And he said, you just put them on cook as much as you want. And I thinks to myself, well, that won't hardly make a mess, you know. I put them things in that pot and I put water in them, you know. I put water on first and I just dumped that sack over in them. While I was in here and I heard something, just a spattering going on. Honey, I'm not kidding you. There used to be a door. You had to go in that door and in that door to the kitchen. That's how this house was built. You had to go out of this living room into our bedroom and then another door where the refrigerator is. There was a door there. This was all a solid wall. And I went sailing in there, and I'm not kidding you. Apples was coming down by halfway that floor. Boiling down that pot, the other comes down the floor, you know. Boy, I had two of the children. One of them's already up that mama's. I grabbed the other two, went running up. I didn't even turn the oil stove off. One of them exploded. I went sailing up there, and mama come back. Whoops, she like to have died laughing when she opened that kitchen door and come in. Apples had done got down to the kitchen door. Now, that's what kind of cook I was. Mama went over and turned the stove off. It had run up, you know, and was smoky in there. It was still burning, and the apple was still coming out of that pot. Mama said, a lot of you ought to know better than that. I said, well, Mama, just a little sack like this. She said, well, Lord, that sack like that would make almost 1,000 pies. Because it swelled up. I didn't know it.
I probably would have done the same thing.
Apple, I think about it now and I get so tickled. I was telling my sister about it last week down. That's the first time I ever told her about it. She sat down like she had a real bad cold. She looked like she felt bad. She sat down and laughed till the tears right now. She said, Lottie, I can just see you dancing around there now and them apples coming down the kitchen floor. I said, well, what was so crazy? I took the children and run. Went up to my mother's. She lived on the corner right by Miss Ladder up there. And she come on back with me. She couldn't run because she's, you know, fat. She's getting older. She walked pretty fast. And when she opened that kitchen door, they'd almost got to the kitchen door. It was down here at this end. It's a bathroom down there. But she used to be a little back porch there. We had it remodeled, of course, several years ago. Don't look like it now. Needs painting. But the real estate woman told me not to paint it. Said, if you go move, she said, it won't bring a penny more. And somebody else. Now, the paint's already down in my son's storage room. But she said, it won't bring a penny more. And whoever moves here might want different colors than what you have. She asked me what color did he. I told her I was going to have beige in all these rooms except the kitchen. I paint it that green. It's light green. And she said, well, I wouldn't mess with it because you won't get no more money, like I said, and for it. And she said, I ought to get right good out of the house because we kept it up.
Oh, yeah, it looks like it's in real good condition.
It is. We really ought to kept it up.
Yeah. Well, when the mill, before the mill sold the houses to people, did they used to take care of them?
Yeah, and a carpenter work had to be done. They'd send a man down and do it and charge it on, you know, on your rent. And it was 75 cents a week. A month, I thought that's good. It's back down in that one of them boxes, because I was looking at it since my husband died, where we paid rent. He kept all bills of all kinds. They'd give you a receipt every time you paid it. And I noticed it was on one of them, I was looking at it, just lonesome and wanting something to do. I went and got that box of stuff looking through it. And I saw in there one place where they put us in a back porch. Mm-hmm. Charged us $1.50 put in that back porch.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. And they put in a, let me see, put in 4 window panes. Because the putty give out and they just fell out. They come put in 4 window panes. Because I know there's one on the front. There's 2 in that one that fell out. One in the front and one in the kitchen window. And it was quarter. 1.25 put in them windows. Mm-hmm. You had to turn it in up at the mill what was wrong. Mm-hmm. Next day, ma'am was down here and put them in. It was good to keep up the little things, but there was old seal walls, like I said, and hanging lights. And when I moved here, the woman that, I forgot who long lived here before I did. I can't remember her name. I can see her right now, but I just can't remember her name, her and her husband. Seemed like she was a Hulk, Annie Hulk, and her husband. Anyway, if that wasn't, I know she lived here one time, but it seemed like she lived here before we moved in. They left here, I mean, went up plaid mill to work. Well, see, that wasn't Vernon Mill, and they had to move up there in one of their houses. They used to work up here, and that's when they went plaid mill. See, that was a different company, and they had to move in one of their mill houses. So we got, Dave asked for a house, and he got this one. We was living in 2 rooms and a half over on Maven Street with Miss Boswell. And when I don't forget what I started telling you. Oh, the walls. Oh, I was so disgusted, and I was pregnant with Jeanette, you know, because I moved here the 14th day of April, and she's born the 10th of July. And I was, you know, just wasn't able to do, but boy, you talk about scrubbing walls, I scrubbed them. They were painted a dark gray. This house was so dreary looking. I washed them down. My husband helped me when he was here, you know, I'd done a lot of it while he was at work. But I did it by myself, you know. Mother and my sister come down here and help me a little to make it a little brighter, but just as soon as Jeanette was born, we had it painted and charged it to the mill company. We got to paint and had a man to paint it and told them about it. But we painted lighter colors. Oh, it was so dreary looking, and that's why I didn't feel good in no way. And it made me feel terrible. But see, I just wasn't in shape to do much right then.
Yeah. Did you stop working when you got married?
I worked about 2 months after I married, and I was out 3 years. My children are real close. It's just 14 months between the three, you know, 14 months between Delmas and Doug, and 14 months between Doug and Jeanette.
Yeah. And then you went back to work?
Then I went back to work. They gave me a leave of absence so I wouldn't lose nothing, you know. I went back to work. And then I lost one. She was 5 years old. I was out 2 years in because I had double pneumonia if I come to live. And I got out here cleaning this yard. And I got too hot. Taking my coat, and I went into double pneumonia. So I got 2 years in because when I got up, I was in the bed around 16 weeks. By the time I didn't know a thing they said, I don't remember, I just know they told me, which I knew was pregnant, but they told me when I come to myself that I had lost the baby. My mother said it was a little boy. So I had 3 boys and 1 girl, and I just got 2 boys and 1 girl. But that's a nice little family.
Mm-hmm,
3.
Sure is.
Yeah. I've enjoyed it.
Was there a lot? Did people get sick a lot?
Yeah, I caught everything come by working in a mill like that up there. I'd even had hepatitis from working up in there.
Really?
Yeah. That wasn't too long before I quit work. Because I worked on, like I said, till I was 58. And my old boy come in there, and the woman that covered springs that you put on the wine. Yarn on. I don't know whether you know anything about a mill or not. The spring's about this long. You put a sock on them. And then they go to the wine and they slip on there and you wrap your thread around that and make, you know, balls of yarn. Anyway, the woman was out. I knew how to cover them, and my boss man come and said, Miss Adams, would you mind teaching a boy how to cover springs? Said, Neva's out a whole lot. said, she's a sick man. And I said, oh, do I have to teach somebody? I always did hate to teach anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, please, because there's nobody else that I can pull off a job right now. And he said, some of them don't even know how. And said, you do know how. And I said, okay. Well, then I said, I am that boy. He had two red spots on his cheek. He sat down. He kept, his name was David, but that's all I remember. I don't remember his last name. While I said, David, are you sick? He said, Miss Adams, I'm so sick, I don't know what to do. Well, you know, inside of 30 minutes, I was vomiting. I couldn't even get to the bathroom. It was close to me from here to my kitchen door, from where we were sitting. The springs come down on a belt. They had to bring me home. Well, I stayed at home 3 days, and nothing they give, they give me Paragard between the doses of medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And he find Dr. Walker was my doctor, and he said, finally, they called him back out here, and I got so dehydrated, it was nuts. My legs felt like bigger than your fist, and he said, Dr. Walker, something's got to be done. He said, I don't know where it's all coming from. It's nothing but clear water. But part of it's blood, because she's done vomited his blood, and it's going the other way, too. And he said, she's in a terrible shape. She can't even lift her head up. He come right on out here, and he said, call an ambulance. She's got hepatitis.
Mm-hmm.
Said, I know now that's what it is. So they carried me up to Memorial Hospital. So, see, I caught everything by other people being sick. I reckon I had a low resistance or something. Anyway, I take everything come by.
Mm-hmm. Would they give you sick time up there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They don't pay you right on, though, like they do. You know, a lot of places. A lot of work you do.
Mm-hmm.
And like take my son, he had joined this architectural firm when my husband died.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that Mr. Keenum, mighty sweet little man, he's a little short fella, he was working for him, you see.
Mm-hmm.
They was talking about making him a partner, but they hadn't done it. And he told Delmos, he said, well, now, your brother works in the mill. He said, now, he'll lose time if he stays out with your mother. Your mother needs one of y'all. You boys. Said, that sister of yours probably don't know how to look after all this. Well, she had a daughter in school in Atlanta. She lives in Atlanta. She had to take that girl back to school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't keep a child out for so long. And see, school had just started, practically started too. Started in September, and he died the 5th of October. So she stayed a week, and she had to go back. And she works for the Western Electric, her and her husband both, down in Atlanta. And so he told him, he said, you just go stay with your mother. And so he stayed with me 2 weeks and didn't lose a penny. He said, see if your brother works at the mill, he'll lose all that money.
Yeah.
He said, Dallas, you're getting paid right on. He said, I wish to the Lord I'd have stayed close to my mother when my daddy died. Said, she needed me. I was the only son she had. And he said, I didn't do it, but I'm going to see that you stay with your mother.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife, he's got 5 children. And the oldest one will be 22 this year, September, a girl, and the youngest one's 12. But anyway, he's been dead 2 years, you see. It'll be 3 this October. Anyway, he's Susie, his wife, she's sweet as she can be. She'd call me after he went back home, went back to work. For 3 months, honey, I'm not kidding you, for 3 long months every Friday she'd call me. She owns and operates a dance school.
Mm-hmm.
She'd call me from her dance school and say, Ms. Adams, I'm sending I told Delmas to take the good car to work with him. Today I'm sending them up there to spend the weekend with you. I'd say, Susie, honey, I'm all right. I said, naturally I'm lonely, but I said, that's all right. I got to get used to it. I said, he needs to be at home with you and them children. Oh, Ms. Adams, I can handle these children. I feel so sorry for you.
Mm-hmm.
She said, ain't many daughter-in-laws will do that. Part with their husband every weekend. That went on for about 3 months. I finally told him to stay at home. I was all right. Because I know she'd rather have him at home.
Yeah.
I tried to before then, but I finally got wrong about the thing.
Uh-huh.
I said, y'all acting like, I said, you won't ever let me get used to doing for myself. Have some peanuts.
Well, what about children's diseases? Did your kids have the measles and mumps
they
and all that?
They had everything. They had the mumps and measles. They even had scarlet fever.
Really? Was that, did a lot of people, was that like an epidemic?
Two of them had it. I didn't. They quarantined you back then with such things, you know. It was quarantined. Jeanette had it, and I had it. I took it from her. And we're the only ones had it. But the others had everything, whooping cough and all kind, all three of the kind of measles, and they never did have diphtheria. But all these little childish diseases, they all had them.
Did they have public nurses then?
Yeah.
Would they come around when the kids were sick?
When they had us quarantined, she'd come. Well, it was a metropolitan nurse. We was insured in the metropolitan. I have been all my life. And she'd come, and then there was a health nurse here too, she'd come. But that metropolitan nurse was here every day. Seen that everything was all right, you know. Everything was sterilized so that the other children wouldn't take it. We had to keep them shut up away from Jeanette. Then after she got over it, I took it. Waiting on her, you know, I took it. Clean as I knew how to be, we'll use a, I bet we used a barrel of Lysol. And Dr. Lupton used to tell me, I declare, Ms. Adams, you've got the cleanest house. He said, I've ever seen have three little bitty children. He could see it now, he wouldn't say so. Look at the dust. But you dust every day. I got some feathers now. I knocked that off late yesterday evening. That stove. I don't have that kind of dust. I have an air conditioner sometimes. And I don't have that kind of dust in the summer. But this winter, you can dust like tonight. In the morning, you write your name on. And I just hadn't got to it today. I got tired and lay down here on the couch. That's what I was doing when you knocked on the door looking at the TV. I was about asleep.
Whoops. Glad I caught you.
But I got tired. I get tired so much easier than I used. Of course, I'm almost 70, so nicely. I'm going to get tireder than I did when I was 50.
Yes, you deserve to get tired by this time.
Children get out, and them boys wear the life out of me. They come catch me doing things. Mother, you got no business doing that. I said, y'all was trying to make an invalid out of me. You're not going to do it. I'm going to go as long as I can. And I hope I never have to live with one of them. I'm not going to wood by mine, but I hope I don't. Do because they're younger than I am, and I done about lived my life, and they, and I know old people can get kind of cranky. I'm already cranky. They say, oh, no, you're not my, Susie, my sister-in-law, Robert. Miss Adams, you've got a real good sense of humor to be as old as you are. I said, you're not old yet, but said, I don't think you're old. But she said, you've got the best sense of humor and so lively. She said, I know an old lady lives close to me. She, you're older than she is. And said, she just grumbles all the time. Complains all the time. And said, we have to knock you in the head to get you to tell us what's wrong with you. I told her, well, there's other things to do besides worse than my death. So that's why I don't want to live with my children. I might get a little more cranky than I am now. Because I had my mother and father both here with me for about 2 months. And they were sick and all. I know what kind of time I had. You couldn't please them.
Now, did you take off time from work when your parents were living with you? Did you take off time from work when you...
No, I worked on. Because my children got up some size then. And they stayed with me when that oldest boy was in... Well, the youngest one was in the Navy. And the older one's in State College. And they stayed here about 3 months in. See, we had plenty of room. They looked after Jeanette. Well, she was old enough to look after herself. What I mean, they kept tabs on her. Because they know I didn't like for her to run around much.
Did a lot of people take care of their parents in the neighborhood? Like,
yeah, quite a few, but now it's a different story. They sent them off to a nursing home now. Because I know a lot, not right around here, but I know a lot of people here from Glen Hope Church, their parents in nursing homes. Which that's all right. I've told the children if I got down, that's what I'd like them to do with me, put me in a nice one. Pretty nice one, because I said, y'all got, to, like I tell them, they've got their life to live yet, and they don't need to be tied down with me. Because now, see, like I told you, my youngest grandchild is, I've got 8 of my own and 2 step-grandson, but I call them my grandchildren. They can't have nothing, and I just accepted them. I thought, well, if Doug was mine to accept them as his children, I might as well accept them as my grandchildren. And the oldest one was down here yesterday, her boy, he's 17, but he's not 18. He was 17 when he graduated. He's done had another birthday. He's 18 now. And he was down, come down to know if I needed anything yesterday. Worked on that TV, you know, that wires was loose in that, why you plug it in. He fixed that, but it still wouldn't come on. Anyway, he stayed down here and he said, Grandma, you know what meant the most to me when Granddaddy died? I won't ever forget it. And I said, oh, what, honey? He said, you had it put in the paper, you had 10 grandchildren, said you didn't put 2 step-grandchildren. Mm-hmm. I said, well, y'all are my grandchildren. I said, you call me grandmother. I said, don't that make me your grandmother? He got up and hugged and kissed me. He said, I love you, grandmother. Mm-hmm. I said, I love you too, Kathy. You're two real sweet boys. I said, y'all just like my own grandchildren. And why put 2 step-grandchildren when I accepted you as my own grandchildren? He said, well, that meant a lot to me, grandmother. Mm-hmm. He said, my own grandma and grandpa don't have nothing to do with us. Mm-hmm. They live right down here in Swepsonville. Mm-hmm. He said, they don't have a thing to do with us. He said, I haven't seen. They celebrated their 50th anniversary and didn't even ask them 2 boys. They didn't know nothing about it. I saw it in the paper. Mm-hmm. So that means a lot to them, you know, by me accepting them and David. Mm-hmm. We acted just like them. They were our own. Mm-hmm. I correct them just like I did my own. Mm-hmm. If they's doing anything, you know, they were small and that's when they married. I don't know how long they've been married. And he has 2 children. She lives in Greenway Park too, his first wife. Mm-hmm. He has a boy and a girl. A girl married, Denise Adams. She lives over here on the other end of George Avenue. Mm-hmm. And the boy, he's 17, his boy.
So a lot of your family lived right around in
Yeah, we all lived here, except Jeanette's been gone for 20 years to Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They married, they've been married, well, they moved there. They've been married 7 years when Teresa was born. They had the one girl. They won't ever have any more. And she'll be 16 this July. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, she was born, she was pregnant when she moved to Atlanta. Mm-hmm.
Did when your son, did your daughter ever work in the mill?
Mm-mm. She worked uptown at the Rose, Woolworths, and she worked for a lawyer. Garner, I believe, was his name. She was his secretary then, until she done put in for her a job over here. See, she graduated when she was 17. And see, they wouldn't work at Western Electric. She wanted in that Western Electric so bad, they wouldn't work until she's 18. They won't take it till you're 18. Mm-hmm. So she worked for this lawyer until she was 18. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She done put in and had the job, but they just couldn't hire her. Mm-hmm. So she's been with them ever since she's 18 years old. Mm-hmm. She's 44 now. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What kind of job did your son have up at the mill?
He was a head loom fixer. Mm-hmm. He wanted to get out of the mill. He just wanted to get out. Mm-hmm. It's something he's working for a man in Raleigh now. Cary, one, I don't know which it is. Mm-hmm. You know, Cary, my son lives between, Delmas, the older one, lives between the fairground and Cary. But their children go to school in Cary. Mm-hmm. But his address is Raleigh. Mm-hmm.
Well, did you want your children to work in the mill?
No, I didn't.
How come?
Well, because it's hard work, and I want, naturally, every mother and daddy wants their child to have something better than they had. And see, this older boy of mine, he had osteomyelitis, and he was operated on. He grew a 6-inch new bone in his leg. They was fixing to take it off. He's the first person in Alamance County to receive penicillin. He was 12 years old. And he had 3 operations, and he was in a cast for 7 months. I mean, a wheelchair for 7 months and a cast for 9. Mm-hmm. And then he was on the crutches about a year before he could walk natural. But he doesn't even limp. Mm-hmm. He don't limp at all. But he's come back on him once since then, since he's been grown. And I read in a magazine, now the doctor wouldn't tell me, they said it was a bone infection, but I read in a magazine in a beauty shop where it was cancer of the bone. Now, I don't know. I asked him about Dr. Carrington, and he's dead now. I asked him about it, and he just said, I have a So that's all the hints I got. So we had right much sickness, you know, and things like that, because they dismissed me from going back for treatments. I had a hysterectomy when I was 36 years old. Had to have. Like, scared me to death, because that wasn't happening then much. And now it's just an ordinary thing.